We are now ready to move into the treasurer's report. We are item number 13 on the agenda, and I'm going to turn the microphone over to Barbara.
Hello, everybody. There's a one-sheet information thing coming around, and when the stack gets to the end of each table, there should be enough copies to pass to the audience. It's got different kinds of stuff on both sides. So let's start. Yes, stop your side talks, please. Let's look at the side of the sheet first that's got the least, the bigger numbers, not the little tiny ones. In the right hand, this is just miscellaneous financial information, and I'll tell you, which many of you already know, we have not had any monthly statements since all the big changes in the national office, and I have been in Maria's office and helping a little bit and monitoring what's going on, and it is true that there's a lot of work being done, and it just hasn't produced any reports for us yet. And they have been working on a lot of errors in the accounting records that needed to be straightened out, and you all know that we have suffered with these, with all the reports that you've been given. There's always been some question about something that wasn't correct or had to have information added and so on. So we're looking forward to having better produced accounting records pretty soon. But the big task that they needed to complete was to get ready for the auditors who came on January 2nd. And it is true that there was mention in the PNB meeting of who hadn't turned in things, but this is an ongoing process. It isn't that they've missed deadlines and aren't cooperating. The two stations that are moving, of course, that means it's a little more difficult for them. And as Andrew noted, our business office is tremendously over-tasked. In fact, our business manager works most weekends. And I, too, appreciate how much she does and think that it's a little upsetting to hear criticism because the circumstances are so extreme. In any case, now to this sheet of paper, the little right-hand column, the first figure is the cash balance in the bank, $350,000. This includes our first distribution of the year that we've gotten from CPB, the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, and that's a little over $102,000. It also includes the payroll expense that's coming up this next week. That's already been deducted from the bank. So the $350,000, as I say, includes this money from CPB that we've just gotten, and it also has spent the money on our payroll for the 15th. And at the bottom is we have accounts payable bills in the amount of $18,000 that are about to be paid. Now, the other two items here are things that you all have asked for information about over the meetings that we've had in the past year. And I've got to say that all of the expenses are probably not here for these things. But I asked our business manager to go into her records and tell us what has been spent so far on the LSB elections and on the recall election. So You'll see there what the totals are. I asked her to break them down in the type of expense, not just give us a bottom line. So although the dates skip around a little, she was following my request about what type of expense are there. So if anybody has any questions about those, just remember before you ask them that all the facts aren't in yet. There are many things that we will be billed back by the national office, not only to do with this, but that's another thing that's not only to do with the elections, but the bill backs have not been executed lately since the auditors have been there and the and the preparation for the auditors. It's true, Andrew said, we have supported the national office quite a bit lately. And in the past, you know, we've gotten very upset when we were asked for money above and beyond our central services fees, and we've kind of resisted and so on. At this point, there is so much focus on what's going on that it isn't a surprise, and that Maria and Andrew have looked at the books and looked at the bank statement and said, yeah, we can pay that bill. We can help them out by paying this credit card now. But all these things are being racked up in the interstation account so that we will be given credit for them. They're monitoring everything very closely. Now, the other side of this sheet comes from Chris Stelick, our data manager, and it's one of his beautiful, elaborate breakdowns of our the money that was raised in December. And across the top are the categories. You'll see the total pledged, and to the next column is the total paid so far, and then the difference, that's $98,000 we're still expecting to come in. And this rate,
move the microphone a little bit.
Sorry, this rate, God, we've got to become perfectionists about
that's
this.
Right.
The rate column is the fulfillment rate so far. Now, our station has historically a really good fulfillment rate that's much higher than that, but this represents how much we've received at this time. And then, let's see, I'd like to go down the first column rather than across. I think that it's very interesting to look at the type of donors that we've gotten. Margie, will you please stop talking when other people are talking? All right, Joy, then please. All right, acquisitions is new donors. So at that fundraising, we got $55,000 from brand new donors. I think that's really pretty good. And then the next figure you'll see are people who renewed their membership and others who had lapsed and rejoined. And then the largest sum comes from people who already regularly give but have given additional money during that fund drive. So we got a lot of dedicated people supporting us. then there's his breakdown of, you know, on-air pledging and website. Different plans that people have participated in, you know, installment plan is when you call up and say, well, you please spread my donation over 10 months. Electronic funds transfer, you many familiar with, people who are brave enough to say, take this much out of my bank account every month. In any case, this is the type of report that Chris Stelic can give us, and it helps to analyze how we're doing, what sorts of approaches are important. And so all of you who are interested in the fundraising, and particularly the on-air stuff, hang on to these reports, or at least find them when you need them to evaluate things. Yes.
When it says premiums requested and no premiums,
mm-hmm.
So it's $242,000 plus.
Involved some sort of premium.
Involved some sort of premium. And is there anywhere that we have a sense of how much those premiums cost us?
Those things show up in your financial reports, which we don't have.
Okay.
Because when they order 20 books or 17 CDs,
right,
or whatever, it gets put in that category of expense.
Okay, so there's a place where you can see pretty clearly what the fund drive gets and what it costs.
You wouldn't see it in this report,
right,
initially, because all the premiums haven't been ordered and the amount of money is not calculated yet.
So you have to look for it. It's not something that is right
it
there.
It will show up in our monthly financial reports once we start having them. Let's see. There was some. Andrea.
Thank you. It's really interesting. It's really a nice sheet, so I appreciate that. Barbara, I've been trying to imagine what our response rate, like, the good news is that at my house, I'm starting to be given reminder notices, and I'm getting more mail from KPFA, but when I was in the phone room one time, and they were asking us to stuff envelopes with a reminder notice, and there was a lot of them. And I have a couple concerns around that. One is that I'm interested to know if there's any way to gather this information. What is the response rate to those reminder notices? Because I have this fear that the cost of the reminder notices might outweigh the benefits that we get from them. And another approach that I wanted to consider, and maybe some numbers could support this initiative, if we were to do phone calling to try to recover to do those reminders, and that we could also use it as a way to update the records, because a lot of times the records are, we end up mailing expensive mailings to people two or three times and to find out that they've moved, which could have been cleared up with a phone call. And I do notice that we have such a dedicated cadre. Some of the phone volunteers are hardcore, and they like the culture of the phone room and stuff, and it might be possible for us to convene kind of in between fund drives to do some of that work and see if it would be worth it, either through volunteers or even paid work, mm-hmm. to see if it might. So if we had some of the numbers that might help us to make good choices about that, is there any way to gather that information?
Well,
the
first thing that comes to my mind is our fulfillment rate.
Right.
And the fact that we as a station send reminders, I don't think all of them have done that, or at least not consistently. And
all of which?
Other stations do not send reminders.
I see.
And so you can say, yeah, there's a whole bunch of these sheets in a box that people mm-hmm. are going to have to stuff, and volunteers do that.
Mm-hmm.
And it is pretty cheap to just send an envelope. I don't think we would.
I don't know about that.
I'm not sure. I'll find out what the postage for those sort of things are.
If we look at postage, the cost of the, if we have, what is our, if the fulfillment rate is what I'm reading here.
Well, that's only now. Fulfillment rate changes through the months as the installment payments come in or people who respond to their reminder.
So if it was 90% on a $700,000 goal, that means we're looking for $70,000. And if we were able to get half of that through and not spend money on a mailings, you know,
okay.
Would it,
but let me tell you this. If you have a cadre of people phoning, there has to be somebody in charge of that.
Sure.
That's a whole project. That would, I think, need to be some paid staff person that takes responsibility for it. So it's another kind of thing to organize. And it's not a bad idea, but I don't have the fear that you do about the fact that we're overspending postage on reminders.
And printing.
That we do that in-house. That's nothing. We just print little things and they cut them.
I would love to see those numbers if you could gather them somehow.
I for one, find it difficult to follow when there is a cross discussion. If the group is agreeable, if we could pose a question and let the answer come in and then give the person next on the list the chance to raise whatever he or she wants and then come back again if there are other issues. I would appreciate that very much. And the next person on the list I see is Tracy. I got Rich, Janet, Dan, and Margie of people who have indicated they would like, and Brian, and
Cheryl.
Okay, thank you.
Sharon.
Just a couple of questions to sort of clarify these numbers. And forgive me, Barbara, as you know, we haven't gotten a whole lot of up-to-date information, and we've talked about that on the NFC. So I am going off of the information that I last heard, which, you know, could have changed in the past week or two. But I had heard that the December fund drive was $50,000 over goal. The goal, as I was told by Andrew, was $275,000. So I'm looking at a number of $283,000, which is $8,000 over goal. So I'm guessing that the other $42,000 was LA and or Fresno funds that the station doesn't actually keep. And I just wanted to kind of clarify that, if it was LA and Fresno or just LA or just Fresno or what those numerical discrepancies were. So that's question one. Question two is just regarding the AP balance figures, which I kind of always have some questions about sort of what they contain and what they don't contain. To the best of my knowledge, and you mentioned billbacks, and maybe the AP balance isn't meant to cover billbacks, but I know that KPFA is responsible for the $125,000 deductible on the Esther Mania lawsuit that was recently settled. And as of about, I don't know, 2 weeks ago, some $90,000 was still remaining that had not been paid by KPFA, although the lawsuit was several years old. So I guess the question is that ever going to show up in the AP balance, or have we gone ahead and paid it all off, which would be nice to know, but I hadn't heard that. A question is sort of what's the relationship of, do you know how much is remaining on that deductible payment? Is it reflected in the AP in any way? And then the third question, I guess, is also an AP question. I was talking to someone at KFCF, and again, this was a couple weeks ago, so maybe things have changed. And of course, after a fund drive, the funds, the pledges that come in from Fresno, which we process, are then an accounts payable to KFCF. We don't keep them. And certainly at that point, they had not received the payment for the December fund drive. So I guess my question is, has that payment been made? Approximately how much was it? And is it showing in the AP? I doubt it's in this figure of $18,032. So my question is that because it's already been paid, or is that because for some reason we don't show that in our AP balance? Because sometimes my concern when I get these statements is that our AP balance is somewhat selective and it doesn't always indicate all of the things that we're going to have to pay, which is important because you want to know how much your cash balance is and how much all of your outstanding obligations are, including things like remitting to Fresno. So if I could get an update on those three things, that'd be great.
Now, what did we decide we're going to save? All questions to the end? I think it would be better for me to answer each person at the time. That's fine. And my answers are going to be pretty short. You're right. It doesn't show anything in this sheet about the L.A. Fresno money, and I can't answer any. I mean, I don't want to speculate about that. And as far as the legal expenses, I do not have any idea whether that's related to the accounts payable is an actual account. And there, as you know, there are some things that aren't in there yet. And so those are frequently the ones that are being billed to us by the national office, and they haven't been. And I don't know about the difference whether one the payment for that's been made so far is in the books either. And I'm sorry, Tracy, what was the third?
That was it.
No. Okay.
Rich.
I wanted to add something. Andrea was asking about renewal notices. When I started at KFCF as the manager, that was in July of 2008. And I found out that our previous general manager had not been sending out renewal notices. And I began doing that maybe a month or so later. Right after I started sending those out, the economy crashed in October of that year. And as many of you recall, income for KPFA was down. Income for public radio and TV stations across the country was down. 20, 25% were the numbers I was hearing consistently over and over. KFCF did not see a reduction in income. And I assume that is because we were underperforming by not sending out renewal notices. So I would say it's probably 20 to 25% if you don't send out renewal notices, because what I heard over and over was, well, I'm a member, I never got a renewal notice, so people wouldn't. So what I do now is I send out renewal notices just before each pledge drive. So it's in the top of their mind when they hear the pledge drive going on, oh, yeah, I've got to renew. Oh, that's a premium I want. It's a good time to renew, and that works. In terms of what Tracy was asking, in terms of the KFCF numbers, we still don't know the December numbers yet because we haven't gotten those from Chris. I'll probably get those in the next week. So there is a lag on that. So we are, I think at this time, owed November, which I think was like $4,000 or $5,000, then whatever December is, and maybe by the time we get payment, maybe January will be in there too. So my guess is it'll probably be about $30,000 at that point. But right now, December hasn't shown up on the books yet because Chris hasn't done those reports yet. And he was on vacation for a little bit, and he had some other things he was working on, so he's running behind on getting all the December stuff into the computers. So it does take a while for that to show up, and so that's probably not in there yet at this point. That was all I had to add.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to comment something on what Rich was just saying, and that is that I think we're talking about two different kind of things being sent to the listeners. You're talking about renewing your membership, which is a yearly calculation, and actually, I believe the mailings that Andrea was referring to are the reminders about pledges. When a person makes a pledge, they get a little note in the mail, the first one, and if it is something that the person paid with a credit card or a debit card, the thing is marked fully paid. If it isn't yet paid, the amount that they pledged is there, and then the person has this to send in with their check or their credit card information to pay their pledge. So it's reminding people about the pledges that is the most important for keeping our fulfillment rate up. I actually don't know if anybody in our station sends membership reminders.
Yes.
They do. Good, thank God. Yep. All right. Okay. Next is Janet.
I find this very informative, this report, the one with a lot of numbers. I'm thinking about the idea of adding some additional numbers, which would make the print smaller. But I have a question about the pledge counts. And so are those numbers of pledges or numbers of individuals, or is that the same thing? I would think that it would be important for special attention to be paid to the acquisitions, maybe some additional, because they're new people and they maybe need special attention once they do their pledge. I would like to see a comparison of fund drives at some point, once, you know, this is one fund drive, and also some kind of cumulative report. I know it's more work, but I'd like to request that.
Well, actually, that is done routinely. That's just not what I brought today. And the pledge counts are people, you know, the number of pledges made and the number paid and the others yet to come.
Wait, where is that?
Oh, in the far right, at the top, very top of a heading says pledge counts.
Thank you. Okay.
And Dan, now you're next, Dan.
Oh, well, you know, I just wanted to comment on the letters. I don't have a totally clear recall on this, but several years ago, there was a conversation network-wide on fulfillment rates. And a couple of stations, they were like as low as 60%. Mm-hmm. And that was before people started doing the reminders. And as far as I know, that's actually worked pretty well. So I don't think that's something we should stop doing. My guess is sending out a letter to someone in terms of printing the letter, the envelope, and the stamp costs about 75 cents. So mm-hmm. if for 75 cents, you're getting another 20% in fulfillment rates. That's pretty good.
I agree. I think sending reminders for pledges is important. And I know Andrea's trying to be diligent, looking where can we save money or spend money more wisely. But in any case, I think that's a good expense. Margie's next.
I hesitate to continue this conversation. The fact is the matter is that people who make pledges, that is, do not put their pledge on a credit card, are given they're initially billed. If they don't respond to the initial billing, then they're sent a reminder letter, and they're sent a second reminder letter, and then the whole thing is dropped. So what I'm thinking, I like Andrea's proposal, and I think that what we ought to do is talk to Phil Acegueda and staff about the idea of calling people who have not responded after the second reminder letter. I think it might bring in some more money, and I think it would be worth it. But I don't think we should prolong the discussion here. I think what we should do is ask the people who are in charge of this part of the stuff at the station what their opinion is and how they think we should go about it.
Okay.
Brian is next.
Yes, Brian.
I would like to make a procedural motion. I would like to propose a special rule that during reports, discussion be limited to clarifying questions and debate of any motions brought by the person delivering the report.
If you look at Robert's Rules of Order, it will tell you that any motions to limit debate, in other words, to limit the rights of members to debate, require a two-thirds vote. I believe this motion would fall under that requirement. It's a two-thirds vote for approval, because it is, in fact, restricting the ability of members to say what they wish to say.
If I may?
And that is in Robert's Rules of Order, and it was actually sent to the whole board over a prior issue regarding limiting debate to 3 minutes each. Any motion to extend.
There's a point of order which interrupts.
Yeah, you have to let me finish the point of order. So.
I'm motivating
it, Mark.
That is, one at a time, please.
Just let me finish the sentence and then
please,
then
I'll
back
to you.
Her claim. It is up to you to rule, it's not for her to instruct you.
Once again, please, I didn't hear. I was busy.
She has made her point of order, and it is now no longer her duty to go any further or to instruct you on how to rule. It is your job to rule.
I'm not instructing him on how to rule. I'm telling him the basis for the objection.
You're instructing him on a rule.
Robert's Rules of Order states that motions to limit debate in
point
any way,
order,
shape,
Mr.
or form
okay.
require a two-thirds
vote.
Bear
with me, folks.
And this motion would fall under that rule.
Thank you. And help me out, Brian.
Yeah. Well, first of all, we're not debating anything. We're having discussion without a debate, which Robert's Rules strongly discourages. Second of all, the language on creating special rules of order that is above and beyond what's in Robert's Rules say, and this is on page 378, starting on line 5, that you can adopt a special rule of order by a two-thirds vote after notice or by a vote of a majority of the entire membership, meaning that without notice, such as in this case, 13 votes in the affirmative of this body would be sufficient to approve it.
And from my understanding, would you repeat your motion, please?
My motion is that we create a special rule that during reports, discussion be limited to questions from the body and debate of any motions brought by the person delivering the report. And I'll motivate it if you like.
Hold on a second. You had a question?
Brian, again, you're saying that people can ask questions, but not... you spoke quickly mm-hmm. when you said debates. What was it you said right before debates? Just repeat the whole thing.
Limit discussion to questions of the person giving the report
mm-hmm.
and to debate of motions, any motions brought by the person delivering the report as part of their report. And I'd like to speak to it if I could.
Look, my friends, I have a learning curve on Robert's Rules of Order, so I'm going to appeal to you to help me make a wise decision. And I'm Craig.
You know, it's 3:15. We've been engaged in some long reports. I really don't want to get bogged down in parliamentary, you know, letter dotting here. I mean, I think I understand the spirit of Brian's motion, which is just that we want to get through reports and make sure that things are clarified and give people a chance to ask questions and have the questions answered. But it seems to me like we can do this with the judgment and you know, wise intervention of the chair. We have a new chair here, and I think we need to give him a little time to learn the ropes, but I think he's perfectly capable of you know, kind of guiding the discussion. And I really don't want us to spend our time on this, you know, parliamentary stuff. So I agree with Brian's sentiment here. But I would just ask us, like, let's say this is what chairs do. This is, you know, this is why we have chairs, to sort of guide the discussion and intervene appropriately and use their judgment. And I want to urge us, you know, the afternoon is drawing on. We still have more things we want to get through. I think we can do this in our next meeting without getting tied up here, and that's what I would like to urge us to do.
I'll pull the motion, lest it we spend the next 40 minutes discussing procedure.
Okay.
But then I will just implore my fellow members, if I still have the floor. I think we should all respect each other's time and not look at reports made by someone else as a chance for each of us to give speeches. It's actually really important that the board speak with one voice, because if our manager comes here and gets six different people telling him to do six different things individually, some of which are contradictory, it's very hard for him to work with the board, and that goes for our officers as well. So I really think we should be asking questions when something's unclear in their reports, or actually proposing things that we vote up or down so it's clear what the will of the body is, and not creating a situation where someone has 25 bosses.
I would be grateful if we proceed on that way.
You have to keep the microphone closer.
Oh, sorry.
Your hand's width is too far.
And from now and in the future, feel free to correct me, but my appeal will be that we try to move as constructively as a cooperative group as we possibly can. Robert's Rules of Order is how many pages?
All of them.
And it's going to take me a day or two to read through it. My lips get very tired. So, and the agenda that we...
Wait, you have one more.
Yeah, the agenda that we chose had some suggested times. We can modify it. We can, but we're a little bit behind, and I just want to remind all my fellows of that fact.
Okay, Sharam, you're...
I just have a quick question for you.
You, Barbara, and it's in line with I think it was asked, somebody asked this before. I don't think it was Margie. It has to do with the breakdown of these credit cards versus people who just pledge and they get a notice and pay.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know if that has actually changed? What is the trajectory of that? Since
I don't know, but it, you know, examining
right.
a group of sheets like this from different fund
right.
drives would tell us.
Okay.
And I know that people in the phone room, at least when I've been there, we have been told that if somebody's asking, should I use my debit card or my credit card, you know, we advise them to use the debit card because it costs us less money.
Right.
And if they don't know how to, you know, how they want to pay it, we encourage them to do it right away because we get the money right away.
And just a follow-up question on that.
So I think that has increased, the passing of information when a caller is asked.
Have you noticed that actually the non-card pledges, has there been any changes in terms of the fulfillment rates because of the economic difficulties?
I don't
you haven't noticed?
Know that
okay.
the fulfillment rate is... looked at differently by the method of payment. No, maybe Chris has that capability, but I'm not sure.
Thank you all. We are now ready. I'm glad it was an empty, almost empty glass. We are now at the committee reports. We anticipated that we started at 2:55. It's 3:15, but we are, with that gentle reminder, we are now at committee reports. What committees are available to make a report at this time, that need to make a report at this time?
None. Move ahead.
My thanks to all the committees that did not speak up. We are now ready for the KFCF report, and we are ahead of the agenda. Thank you very much.
Not a whole lot of new events or things going on at KFCF. Got the new phone system in and working. That will stabilize our phone cost, which we're going up about 25% every 6 months, thanks to AT&T being deregulated and by the California Public Utilities Commission. And so that's stabilized that. I've got some new other equipment I've had donated to us that I'm working on putting in. I'm sad to report that one of the founders of KFCF, who helped put the station on the air and did a lot of work for the station, he housed the studios in his garage for the first 30 years of KFCF at no charge. He traded out the work for commercial radio stations, took care of another radio station's studios and transmitter site in exchange for the rent for KFCF. Randy Stover passed away on December 27th, and he was a dear friend of mine, and just wanted to take a moment to remember him. Thank you.
Any questions on the report? Seeing none, we're ready to move to new business. Dan Siegel. I see Joy Moore, anybody, and I see Margie, so that's the list so far.
Okay, so I would like to introduce a resolution for our consideration at our next meeting. And this kind of continues a theme I've been talking about today, which is figuring out ways in which the Pacifica National Board would be more respectful of our local stations and local boards. And so I've written a resolution which addresses the process that is currently in effect when the Pacific National Board selects Pacific National Board members for Pacific National Board committees. And some of these committees, and I'll give one example, the coordinating committee includes one PNB member from each station. But rather than having the station decide who will represent it on the coordinating committee, the Pacifica National Board decides. And so the resolution attempts to address this by requiring that the Pacifica National Board select for PNB committees that are organized based on the stations, the person chosen by the PNB members from that station. That's a lot of words. But in other words, there's a coordinating committee on the Pacifica National Board, and that's kind of like the executive committee. And rather than having the PNB select KPFA's representative on the coordinating committee, this resolution would require that the KPFA's representatives decide which one of them will be on the coordinating committee. So thank you. So the language would be as follows, and I'll give it to the secretary and hopefully discuss it at the next meeting. Resolve, the KPFA LSB hereby recommends that the PNB adopt a policy or practice whereby the PNB members from each station select that station's members on PNB committees that include PNB members designated from each station.
And my understanding is that this essentially is an announcement of a motion that will come before us at our next meeting, and that's when the debate will occur. Is that a correct understanding?
Yeah, that's my proposal. I mean, there's some ambiguity as to whether we should vote on resolutions when people haven't had a chance to think about them. So I'm doing this so it can come up at the next meeting.
Okay. Margie, you're next, and I see – I'm sorry, forgive me. Joy, you're next. Margie, and then Tracy.
I just had a request on this motion. I want to ask the secretary.
I just want to ask the secretary send the motion, the written motion. It was a little hard to follow the words to the LSB email list. Okay, thank you.
And this is Joy Moore. I would like to follow suit and propose two resolutions to be put on the next meeting. The first would be
point of order.
Yes.
One at a time.
Okay. One at a time.
No. One at a time.
Okay.
We have a motion on the floor now.
Oh.
No.
Yes, we do. It's been moved and seconded, and that's what I was going to do, move the table to next meeting.
No. Can I make a suggestion?
Who's Brian, yeah.
Can anyone who has a motion that's for the next meeting just send it out to the listserv?
No, I don't want to.
Okay, just a suggestion.
Let me just say, this is just something that's really helpful to me. In front of you, there are half sheets of
I've
paper.
Done that.
You got it. Okay. So is this a resolution you want decided at this meeting, or it's for the next meeting? Because what I'll do, for anybody who wants to raise resolutions for the next meeting, give them to me. I'll send them out. You know, I'm happy to do that. That's my job. And so, you know, don't worry about that. I'll get it out to everybody.
I will still do that. I will give that to him. I just want to read it. We don't have to discuss it or anything.
Please go ahead.
Is that okay?
Yep.
All right. The first one is a resolution to request management include members of our development task force in their in-house development committee. That's my first one. And the second one would be to formally request management to obtain bids from nonprofit management centers to conduct an efficiency IT audit. I know he said he would probably do it, but I wanted to make it official. So my resolution is to request management to request bids from nonprofit management centers to see how much it would cost to conduct an IT efficiency audit of our organization. Those are it.
Thank you. And Tracy, you're next.
And I'll give you the cost.
I'm afraid that Dan's motion would have to be considered a bylaws amendment. It's not possible for it to be considered as a motion. Article 8, Section 2, composition of board committees. Director committee members shall be selected by a majority vote of the board using the instant runoff voting method, provided, however, if there is an election for more than one committee member, then the board shall use the single transferable method of voting to select committee members. So the motion requires an amendment of the Pacifica bylaws, and it can't be considered by this body.
Point of order.
One thing that I know about Robert's rules, and probably the only thing, is that when a point of order is voiced, we stop everything until we find out whether it's legitimate. And I would ask that be observed. Mal, your point of order.
It seems to me that this is discussion on a resolution that's specifically set over to the next meeting. Discussion is out of order.
We can talk about it next week.
No, we can't.
Okay.
We have an agenda.
An alert that it may be a point to be raised would be helpful for people, but to go into it becomes an intrusion into next month's agenda, in my view. And I think it's helpful for people to give us an alert of what's coming up, and for us to get the text of it so that we can do some thinking in advance, and I am grateful for that. I don't have anybody. Janet, I have you on your list.
Oh.
Here you go. Closer.
Yes. I would like to move that, and I think we would need to discuss this today, that there be an item on the agenda of the next meeting to brainstorm development. This is a follow-up on what Andrea was talking about, with rules suspended and perhaps participants other than board members that could make a contribution invited.
That's a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. Motion has been made and seconded that essentially, and I'm, please listen carefully to the way I phrase it to make sure I follow it, that essentially we have a portion on the agenda where we, as a committee of the whole, we brainstorm the issue of improving our development procedure. Is that a correct?
With rules suspended.
With rules suspended. That would be the committee of the whole acting as a brainstorming group. bear with me. Is there any debate on this issue? I hope not. That's sorry. My Brian.
So when you make a motion to suspend rules, you have to specify which rules you're suspending. I think it might be a committee of the whole is what you want. That means basically no limits on discussion, and you're not required to have a motion in order to discuss something.
And
not a meeting of the board.
My own feeling, and please help me on this, is that people outside of the board would have their comments in the public sector portion, but in a general committee of the whole, it can be only of the board itself, is my understanding. And people are looking at me quizzically, so obviously I'm either wrong or I'm not making my point clearly. Mel?
You're absolutely right. A committee of the whole is still a committee of the same body. There's no reason why we can't also invite other people to speak, but if I'm going to vote on this motion, I want to know who we're inviting to speak, how much time there is allotted for this whole thing. I don't want to just vote for a pig and a poke.
I see Barbara and I see Janet. Janet, let me call on you first because I'm trying to get some guidance in how to straighten this out.
So the idea of having other people other than us participate in this, it's a brainstorming. Who those people would be, I agree. There were some names that came up during the meeting today. I can't remember. But we could maybe separate that out, that between now and the next meeting, we could have a discussion about who those people might be. I don't know if that's possible. Or maybe we could just start with brainstorming with us and then maybe follow up with other people at another meeting.
Am I next?
Yeah,
In the past, we've had special meetings that, whoever on the LSB wants to come, and it was advertised to members or listeners, and that's the kind of atmosphere in which you would have the mixture of non-board members and board members. And I think it's too strange to interrupt the board's business by having a session that really ought to be separate. And I have no problem about you guys wanting to do brainstorming within your meeting schedule, but I don't think you need, I don't think it's appropriate to have outside people come for that.
I see Joy and I see Mark and I see Brian, and I heard, I think, from you as a suggestion, Janet, that it would be true to your intent of your motion if we acted as a board committee of the whole, have the discussion, and then see where we go from there. And you're nodding on that. And I don't know where you fit into this, Andrew, but I'm going to put you on the list. And you're right after Brian. It's Joy, Mark, Brian, and Andrew.
So I would like to suggest that Janet revise her resolution to just say that we will have a committee of the whole and allow public comment on that particular topic in order to make sure we get it passed. Can I say that?
Sure.
All right. So I think it's impinging upon us to make these decisions anyway, and yes, we should get comment from the listeners and the public, but it's still going to be ultimately our decision, so I wouldn't want to open up a big can of worms that it might be difficult to really get information from. So my amendment suggestion is that we have a development brainstorming committee of the whole with public comments, which we would set the amount of time and come up with some suggestions or a plan for, or whatever your other wording was for management. Is that clear? I'm sorry. Do y'all understand?
I think, Margie, I think you were, did you ask for the? I can't read my own handwriting at this point.
No, okay. I don't need...
Mark, it was. I'm sorry.
With reluctance and hesitation, I'd like to offer a substitute motion that we move to committee the whole of the next meeting for 1 hour to develop the terms and then refer this to a town hall meeting. Substitute motion is to refer this to a committee of the whole at our next meeting for 1 hour to develop the terms and conditions and then refer it to a town hall meeting.
A motion has been made and seconded, and Janet and Brian. We take that up first.
Yes, we take up.
Janet. So, I'm not sure how to bring this in, but would you include with public comment as part of that hour in your resolution?
The intent is to set up the terms and conditions for the public comment at the town hall meeting.
Now, what's the town hall meeting?
It's required under the bylaws.
A public meeting.
That's what we're going to get to. That's required under the bylaws.
Let me... Brian, are you going to help me out, or are we going to get more entangled? Go ahead.
I'm afraid we're overthinking this. If the intent is to have a discussion that by definition will not involve a vote of this body... Organize a discussion. It doesn't have to be part of a formal meeting. There's no reason the people who don't want to be part of it should have to drag themselves through it to get to whatever else is on the local station board agenda. It can be more inclusive. I would just urge voting down the amendment and voting down the main motion and just do it. Just make it happen. It's not an act of the local station board to have a conversation. And with respect, Mark, 25 people having an informal discussion have never resolved anything in an hour. In the time, 6 years I spent on the local station board, the few town halls we tried to put together took multiple meetings of smaller committees, each of which was hours in and of itself and excruciatingly painful. So,
I'm probably stepping over. I see Margie, but Mark was recognized. And Brian, you were on the list, and I don't know it, but Andrew, let me turn to you at this point so you have a chance to speak. And then I see Mal and I see Margie.
Point of information for myself. I understand that whilst I'm not on the board, I can't vote on the board, that I'm allowed to participate. Is that correct?
That's right.
Look, with respect to everybody concerned, I just did a really detailed report about development, and it comes as some surprise to me when I mentioned in that report that the Goldbusters people wanted to specifically meet with the LSB, which seemed to me that would be the first thing to do, to go to the professional organization, which we're paying $40,000 for, to have them speak with the board, get their advice, and then subsequently take the direction from there. It seems the cart before the horse, Mr. Chairman.
Janet, I saw you nodding. Is that comfortable for you?
It is, but it would be part of the brainstorming, I think. I would like to hear from Goldbusters as part of this.
Can that be arranged by the next meeting, Andrew?
We don't know when our next meeting is.
I think, as other people have pointed out, I mean, it'll be a long and quite rigorous discussion, probably. I don't know. I don't know the way they would want to proceed, but I'll certainly ask them. But I'm sure they'd be prepared to come to this board at some point and address it formally. They'll be in the Bay Area during our membership drive, and you can meet with them one-on-one or in groups, and perhaps this motion should be, if it's my place to suggest this, delayed until the meeting after this, at which time you and everybody else will have more information about development.
Mal,
I just want to point out that one item of business that we have to finish today is selection of the next meeting. And I don't want this discussion on this relatively amorphous situation to go so long that we can't set the next meeting.
Margie, and then I have a suggestion that I would like the board to consider. Margie.
Well, okay. When I raised my hand to speak, I was going to say I think we should vote down the substitute motion and approve Janet's motion, but that obviously is tied to the question of when the board meets. That's what I think we should do right now, and then we should immediately talk about board meetings, and I have a proposal on that.
I don't want to step on the rights of the members, so let me tell you what was in my mind, and then you can throw it in the wastebasket after you hear it. That we set as a important aspect of our step forward is arranging a meeting between the board and the Goalbusters in which we get a report as soon as possible. And at that point, we entertain Janet's motion that we go into a committee of the whole to brainstorm and see where we are. And I see nods. Is that okay with the board? Is there any objection to that procedure? I hear none. I'm going to say so ordered, and jump at me if you don't agree. Okay, thank you all. Yes, ma'am. Janet.
Just that I would want that meeting with Goalbusters to happen soon, like not in months away.
As soon as possible it was my request. And I saw Andrew nodding. Okay. Bless you all. Thank you. We are now moving into the next meeting, which we have to do. And I'm going to ask that the suggestions about that we – pay attention to Aaron and Bob. We consider that for a future meeting.
Okay.
And Margie, please, on the next, you said you had a proposal on
meetings. So this past year, we've been meeting on the first Saturday of every month. And in conversation with Maria, I learned that that was difficult for her because she is frequently still in helping Barbara prepare the financial reports. Maria is often still involved in closing last month's books on the first Saturday of the month. So I was going to make a motion that we meet on the second Saturday of the month, which this happens to be. But I prefer not to have meetings on three-day weekends. I didn't do my research, so I don't know if there are any three-day weekends that involve the second Saturday of the month. So I want to make this motion that we meet on the second Saturday of each month, provided it does not fall on a three-day weekend. And if it turns out that there are any second Saturdays that fall on a three-day weekend, that we consider an alternate date for that month at our next meeting. That's my motion.
Is there a second?
Second.
Is there any discussion?
And it's,
I see no hands.
Second Saturday.
I would just request that, Chris, that we set our next meeting today and actually approve a calendar of meetings at the next meeting so we know what dates we're approving and we can all look for conflicts.
Fine. I'm perfectly happy with that. So I will change my motion to say we meet on Saturday, February 9th, which is the second Saturday in February, and that at that meeting I will bring a proposal for the remainder of the year. Is that okay?
Okay. I hear a number of seconds. They were nods in the form of nods, but...
I second it.
Joy, thank you.
Any objections?
Quick now, for any discussion? I see no hands. Ready to vote? All those in favor of the final motion, which is we meet next time on the second... Saturday, and we pick up from there for a permanent schedule for the rest of the year. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say nay. Abstentions? It's carried almost unanimously. I'm sorry, Mal. Please say it again, please.
I move adjournment.
Second. Any discussion? I don't even know if it's debatable, but it's not. All those in favor, please indicate by rising.